Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline, the Issues Etc. 300.
Some elements of the religious rite having to kind of make a, dare I say, strange bedfellows arrangement with Donald Trump in order to continue fighting the culture war.
Once we reduce this to gospel, in quotes, then the doors are wide open to do anything else we want to in the theological realm.
It's not because of the man Luther. Luther would say, not me, Christ. Christ alone. Look to Christ.
Kids, we incarnate in Indiana. Hello, Mom. And love. Issues Etc.
The New Concordia Commentary on Hebrews is Issues Etc. Book of the Month. It's written by.
It's an interesting story told in 2 Kings. If you look at 2 Kings, once the cycle of Elisha begins, that is, Elijah is off the planet, so to speak, and Elisha has taken his place with a double portion of Elijah's spirit at work. He is pretty much a miracle worker. He kind of goes from place to place and heals this person and solves that problem. He kind of does occasional miracles, and they're all told in a paragraph or two. And then comes chapter 5 of 2 Kings, where the story slows down a little bit, probably because the author wants us to pay attention to this particular miracle, not only to its details, but maybe what it means. That here is Naaman the Syrian, a Gentile, in fact, an enemy of the people of God. He's a military man as well. He has leprosy, and through a set of circumstances not entirely of his own making, he seeks healing from Elisha, the man of God in Israel, and he gets it there. What does that mean? That not only would a leper be cleansed by God, but a Gentile leper would be cleansed by God through the hands, well, not through the hands, really, of Elisha the prophet. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Tuesday afternoon, the 3rd of October. After our conversation with Pastor Tom Baker teaching a Sunday school lesson on Naaman and Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 5, Bill McKeever will join us for Mormonism Research Ministry. We'll talk about Mormonism, racism, gay marriage, and a $35 million manuscript of the Book of Mormon recently purchased by the Latter-day Saints, a publisher's copy. Why did they spend that much money on that manuscript? We'll talk about that with Bill McKeever. You can join us over the next hour with your questions or your comments, or call in number 1-877-623-MY-IE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on Naaman and Elisha, Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
What would it mean in that day, these Old Testament days of the kings, for, first of all, a prophet of God, they call him a man of God, to heal a leper, and even more so, to heal a Gentile leper who is technically an enemy of God's people?
I always enjoy your first question because I don't have to answer it from the top of my head. Scripture interprets scripture. So I'm going to read to you from Leviticus about a person who has leprosy. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean. Unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So not only did that occur in Leviticus, but remember even Jesus in the healing of the 10 lepers. They were staying away from the people. They were not permitted into the temple. So the idea that Naaman was a Gentile. He was a Syrian leader. This would make it even worse because there was to be no dealings with Gentiles who did not believe in the Jewish religion and the Jews. In fact, those who were not permitted into the temple proper not only included lepers, children, women, but also Gentiles. So Naaman had a double whammy against him when he went to Elisha, and maybe he thought that was the reason that Elisha didn't come out to visit him and sent a messenger in him and told him, go wash in the dirty Jordan.
So tell us the story, because it's not as though Naaman comes seeking this healing from the man of God. He is kind of put onto this possibility of healing by an unlikely source.
Yes, and I think this is really perfect for children in Sunday school, because the unlikely source was a young girl who had been captured in war by Naaman, who believed in the God of Israel, and she told him to go and he would be healed by the prophet in Israel, who, of course, at that time was Elisha. But Naaman went, first of all, to the king and brought him gold and other things and expected, therefore, that he would definitely take care of it. But the king was very worried that the king of Syria had simply sent Naaman there to start a war, because he was not God, as he said. How is he going to be able to do this? And in fact, the king of Israel had torn his clothes when he says this, thinking that, oh, this other king is just trying to seek a quarrel with me. And then Elisha heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes and says, why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel. Naaman came, stood at the door of Elisha, and Elisha sends a messenger out to him and tells him to go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. Now, this really makes Naaman angry for 2 reasons. Number one, he's an important person, and so he would expect the prophet himself, not a messenger, to come out. And then he even mentions the rivers of Damascus, Abana and Pharpar. They are better than all the waters of Israel. Now, these rivers in Damascus were able to water the fields, whereas, unfortunately, the Jordan was very murky because it was a deeply eroded riverbed in the Salt Sea and had very little irrigation value. And so what's he telling me to go wash in a dirty river when my waters are just as good? But his servants came and says, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Wash and be clean. So he goes down and dips himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. And guess what? His flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Today I preached at the International Center, and we always in the prayers include missionaries, and we go around the world speaking about those missionaries. Some of the missionaries have children, and this is the important point I would want to get across to the Sunday school children, that this little girl became a missionary not by telling Naaman about Jesus, not by preaching to him, but directing him to go to where the word of God is stated. And I believe that's a really important point that the Growing in Christ material did, is that we don't expect our Sunday school children to be giving full-length law and gospel sermons, but helping other children, maybe inviting them to a vacation Bible school. What an opportunity. Or inviting them to Sunday school. Or maybe asking their own parents if they would ask the parents of this other child that they may know in the neighborhood if they can bring him to church. That is missionary work, to get individuals to come to the source where God's word can be heard, the forgiveness of sins be given, and an action can take place, much like happened to Naaman because of water.
Talk about this fact that at the end of all of this, he seems to have converted completely. He's ready to forsake his gods. And as he says there in verse, I'm looking at verse 17. Your servant will not burn offerings or sacrifice to any god but the Lord. What's he saying there?
Yes. In fact, it was just before that verse, verse 15. Behold, I know. And the word know in the Hebrew there is often the synonym for I believe. I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. And then he wants to give a present from the servant, namely himself. As the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but Elisha refused, of course. And then what happens here is really important. Verse 18. In this manner may the Lord pardon your servant when my master goes into the house of Rimmon to worship there, leaning on my arm, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon your servant in this matter. Now, the example I always use is the President of the United States never goes to worship without the Secret Service with him. They may not be in the same pew, but they're very close to him. And so let's say I'm a member of the Secret Service, and the president, let's say he's Roman Catholic, and he goes into the Roman Catholic Church. When they bow to pray as a member of the Secret Service, I bow, because I don't want to make myself so obviously not a member of that congregation in case there's danger to the president. And this is how I see what is happening here with Naaman. He is not worshiping these false gods anymore, but because he is definitely in charge of watching and guarding over his master, he wants to be excused from what appears to be worshiping. But the fact that he can make it clear that he is not worshiping any but the true God shows a level of faith today that we rarely find even in some pastors and ministers.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're going to be continuing our conversation with him on the other side of the break, talking about Naaman and Elisha the prophet. The healing comes in this seven times dipped in the Jordan. I wonder if that means anything, seven times there. We'll spend some time talking with Pastor Tom Baker about that, and then we'll talk Mormonism, racism, gay marriage, and a $35 million manuscript of the Book of Mormon with Bill McKeever of Mormonism Research Ministry. When we come back, is there a significance to this seven times dipping in the Jordan? And then he asks for pardon. Now, the story doesn't end there. There is actually some dark work by one of Elisha's servants. And we'll talk about it after this.
Attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Garfield, New Jersey. Grace Lutheran, Naples, Florida. St. John's Lutheran, Chicago, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Unionville, Michigan. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Beverly Hills, California. Epiphany Lutheran, Door, Michigan. The Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California. St. John's Lutheran, Sayville, New York. Apostles Lutheran, Melrose Park, Illinois. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Elizabeth, Colorado. Colorado, Grace Lutheran, Strasburg, Illinois, and Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Ever attended an Issues Etc. conference or any number of events that take place across the Synod and wondered why more people from your congregation aren't there? Then check out the special seminar package the CLCC is offering for the 500th anniversary. All you need so your circuit can prepare, promote, and present a seminar that will appeal to all the members of your congregation, provided for free by the CLCC. Just go to theclcc.org, theclcc.org, and click on the blue box, or check us out on Facebook.
500 years ago, Martin Luther published 95 Theses and changed the world as we know it. Learn more about the Reformation Luther sparked and how and why Lutherans are celebrating its 500th anniversary when you read the October issue of the Lutheran Witness. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe to print and digital editions of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's flagship magazine. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/witness.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Naaman and Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 5. Tom is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to Law and Gospel right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tom, I want you to explain something that you were talking about it before the break, but I want you to explain in a little more detail. When he says he has to go into the house of Rimmon, this false god, and with his king, he says, "The Lord pardon your servant in this matter." He's asking there that he be forgiven for this because he knows that he will likely be required at the point of death to do this for his king, isn't he?
Yes. And there are occasions, and I talked about the Secret Service, they have to participate in things they may normally not participate in, like a worship service, in order to keep secret. That's why we call them the Secret Service. I'm not really sure that God would consider that a sin, because in reality, they're not really worshiping according to the religion. Let's say we had a Muslim president and he had to go into a mosque. He would not be worshiping there, but he would be keeping up appearances. And it doesn't really matter if I think it's a sin or not. If it is a sin, it's forgiven. It's not a sin. God definitely regards it as part of his job there. And there are occasions when that can happen to all of us, depending on our work schedule. For example, many of our congregational members now work in offices, and they are not to speak out against homosexuality or abortion or this kind of thing. And so, or they'll lose their job. And so they keep silent, maybe using the opportunities when they're individually talking to someone at lunch or the subject is brought up, but they cannot kind of preach from their desk, so to speak. I don't think that God considers that a sin, but it is something that Naaman asked pardon for, and God, of course, took care of it.
Then there's an incident that happens with, I believe, one of Elisha's servants after this, where Elisha refuses any of the Syrian's gifts. He's doing this, and he's not doing this for profit, which may well surprise Naaman, because I imagine false prophets were raking in the dough for pulling off kind of false miracles as well. But Elisha's servant succumbs to in a moment of weakness. Talk about it.
Yes, his name is Gehazi, and I know of nobody who's ever named their child Gehazi. And maybe this is part of the reason. When Elisha refuses the riches from Naaman, and Naaman leaves, Gehazi follows him. And when he catches up to him, he tells him a lie. Elijah has now met with two people from the hill country of Ephraim, sons of the prophets, and they need some money to help them live. And Naaman said, "Be pleased to accept two talents." So he gives money, two changes of clothing, and he puts them on his servants, and they go back with Gehazi. But when Gehazi is getting near where Elisha is, he takes the items from the servants and has them returned to Naaman. But is he in for a surprise? Elijah asks him, "Where have you been?" He said, "Your servant went nowhere." Every time I hear that from my kids, I know, well, boy, they've been somewhere. And he said, this is Elisha, "Did not my heart go when the man turned from his chariot to meet you? Was it a time to accept money and garments, olive orchards and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male servants and female servants? Therefore," and here's what's going to happen to Gehazi, "the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and to your descendants forever." So he went out from the presence of Elijah as a leper like snow.
That seems very, very harsh for simply trying to get a little loot off of this rich Syrian general. What would your response be to that?
I'm going to quote one of the best sentences I find in this lesson from Growing in Christ. And I'm quoting it because it always means a lot to us, especially recently in light of the Las Vegas situation that occurred this week. Here's what it says. "The Lord is continually taking the evil humans commit and turning it into opportunities of blessing." If I heard one thing from the Las Vegas while the shooting was going on, how many people talked about certain police and first responders that became their guardian angels, even putting their bodies over them, as well as trying to get them to the hospital as best as ever. The terrible thing that happened here is this little girl is captured by Naaman and becomes a slave for his wife. And as the study says, God took that evil situation and turned it into an opportunity of blessing. Naaman is in heaven because that little girl was captured by her. And so the point I was making in today's sermon at the International Center is that God never forsakes us, even if we're an unbeliever. He only forsook his son. My God, why have you forsaken me? He did not forsake that little girl, but used her voice to get Naaman to go to where the Lord was. And that's the task of the children in the Sunday school, to reach out to their friends and invite them to Vacation Bible School, Sunday school, and if possible, even worship.
So this, it's a very Joseph-like story, isn't it? That God, what man meant for evil, God not only meant for good, but works
well
out great good out of it.
Yes. And the other one I would also talk about is the man born blind. Disciples, whose sin, him or his parents, that he was born blind? Well, Jesus really hits it on the head when he says, no, his blindness was not there in order to be a punishment for his sin or the sins of someone else, but rather to show the wonderful gifts that God has for him. And of course, he not only was healed, but remember what happened when he was healed? He got, in a sense, excommunicated from the synagogue. Even his parents wouldn't say really what happened. They said, you go talk to him, he's of age. Because they had already said anyone who would confess Jesus as the Messiah, as the Christ, would be removed from the synagogue. And that's what happened to him. So even though one evil occurred, another evil occurred from a human point of view, but this man is in heaven. He is joyous because the point is made that though God sometimes allows evil to occur, the purpose is to turn it into opportunities of blessing. And that ought to be the primary point for the Sunday school teachers to get across to the Sunday school students.
Then the real miracle here, there are two miracles, aren't there? There's the miracle, the lesser one, of the physical healing, and the greater one in which all Christians, all children of God share, and that is, although he could not by his own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ or come to him, the Holy Spirit called him by this gospel and made him a child of God. Kind of almost a baptism for Naaman, isn't it?
Yes. We remember Luther. How can water do such great things? Well, it's not the water. It's the word of God connected to the water. Had Naaman returned to his clean rivers, guess what? Nothing would have happened because there was no promise attached to that. But there was a promise attached to the waters when the man who was blind could see. There was a promise. That's why Jesus is really the water of life for all of us. As we trust in him and are baptized, we can be absolutely sure that heaven is our home because he has attached his promises to the waters of baptism, just as he attached the promise of getting rid of leprosy to the waters of the dirty Jordan.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time talking about the news out of Mormonism. They recently had their big meeting. A lot of things were said and decided. Some of the subjects dealing with racism, gay marriage. They've said on gay marriage they will never change their position. They have articulated what they say is an eternal, unchangeable truth. And the Latter-day Saints also recently spent $25 million for a publisher's manuscript of the Book of Mormon. They consider it next to the Bible. Bill McKeever of Mormonism Research Ministry, based in Draper, Utah, will be our guest after this.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
Most Christian schools today use the same books, teaching methods, and structure as America's failing anti-Christian public schools. We owe it to our fathers and descendants in the faith to offer a distinctively Lutheran education. Redeemer Classical School in Fort Wayne, Indiana, offers a time-tested education in the great books of the Western world and the Catechism and Confessions of the Lutheran Church. Visit fortwayneclassical.com to learn more about our curriculum, enroll your children, or sponsor the education of young Lutherans. That's fortwayneclassical.com.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
You can teach laypeople theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.